As the world reflects on the extremist ideology that led to the Christchurch massacres, a new study reveals the challenges faced by American Muslims. More than 100 Muslims ran for public office in last year's midterm congressional elections. Almost all of them encountered online hatred and even physical threats. Lawrence Pintack is one of America's most acclaimed journalists, a former CBS correspondent. He now runs the Edward R. Murrow School at Washington State University, which conducted the study.
Well, there were a total of 166 American Muslims ran, but that's for everything from the governor of Michigan down to local boards of education. We had about 23 who ran for Congress in the primaries, and about six of them made it through to the general election, and two were actually elected to Congress.
And overwhelmingly, they were Democrats, but not all Democrats.
Right. There were actually a few Republicans. One in California was a former military prosecutor in Afghanistan, very conservative, ran a very, you know, anti-Sharia law campaign. But the majority of them were, in fact, Democrats.
And what was the sort of anti-Islamic language, indeed anti-Islamic behavior, that many had to deal with, according to the results of your survey?
Well, sadly, about half of them said that they did encounter some significant level of Islamophobia. And that ranges from nasty comments online to being shouted at rallies to death threats. There were a number of candidates who received very vicious death threats.
And the sort of threats of violence, how much do we relate that to the general climate that has been whipped up in the US body politic when it comes to questions of Islam?
It's directly connected to that. I mean, you can draw a direct line from all of this Islamophobia back to the simple statement that Donald Trump made during the campaign, and that was, Islam hates us. There is no more broad and sweeping Islamophobic comment than you can imagine.
Were any of these candidates, or indeed many of these candidates, sort of inspired to run partly because of the sentiment that Trump was whipping up?
Very much so. I have a book coming out in May called America and Islam, Soundbites, Suicide Bombs, and the Road to Donald Trump. And in that book, I begin by looking at the primary campaign and the reaction that American Muslims had during the primaries to the Islamophobic comments coming from both Trump and Cruz and various other Republican candidates. And at the time, they were shocked, they were horrified, but they all told themselves that he'll never win. And then, of course, he won the nomination. And they all told themselves that he'll never win the presidency. And then he won the presidency. And they were staggered. They were shocked. They were horrified. I talked to people on election night who were saying, I've told my wife not to leave the house. I've told my kids to stay at home. They were horrified. But then there was a recouping. Then many American Muslims said, no, we're not going to take this anymore. And many of these candidates ran as a direct result of Trump's election.
Perhaps the most well-known of the American Muslim candidates, who indeed was very successful in her bid for the House of Representatives, was Ilhan Omar. She's a Democrat from Minnesota. You looked at 80,000 tweets that referred to her. What did you find specifically about those tweets and the obsession that they revealed?
Well, the first thing is that I can't take enough showers. Going through those tweets was just horrifying. The snapshot of humanity or lack thereof, overriding themes of dehumanization. She and other candidates were referred to it rather than her. They were referred to as animals. There were many people out there who genuinely believed that Muslims are demons, that Allah's a demon and they're all demon followers. The level of vitriol. And what is most shocking is we're talking about Twitter here. We're talking about Facebook. We're not talking about some obscure subreddit that's inhabited by, you know, hardline Islamophobes who go around trying to kill people. These are ordinary human beings. These are people who identify themselves as soccer moms and financial advisors and small businessmen. They say that they, you know, they're overriding desire is to support God, country, and fellow humans. And they love puppies. And yet they are saying these kinds of things. On the Twitter feed for Omar, we've counted about 90,000 tweets in which she was tagged. 40% of those contained overtly Islamophobic language.
But I think the real obsession that you point out in the study, Lawrence, is the constant references to her hijab.
Absolutely. We found that all candidates were trolled at some level, faced Islamophobia at some level. The women at a much higher level than the men, and the women who wore the hijab were absolute lightning rods because it's a symbol to the Islamophobes.
The interesting thing is that quite a number of the candidates said that they were, while motivated by the Islamophobia in the broad body politic, they were in fact unaffected by it. It didn't affect their commitment to America, which fascinated me.
Absolutely. I mean, you find this across the board. All the surveys of just ordinary Muslims, you find that their level of love for America, their commitment to democratic ideals, is often far higher than ordinary Americans. You know, this is something that we see certainly here in the U.S. with overall with immigrants. There is a great feeling that we are here, we were allowed in, we are lucky to be here, and we support the nation. And we see that because, by the way, a very, very large percentage of all of those candidates were first-generation immigrants.
I can't avoid asking whether the language in America around Muslims has any comparison to the kind of language that we've seen in Australia that may well have influenced this massacre in Christchurch.
Oh, it's all of a piece. This phenomenon has become a global phenomenon. The very fact that we had an Australian in New Zealand spouting rhetoric about Trump and the U.S. Second Amendment shows us what a global phenomenon this has become.
What is the obsession? Let's even be kind about it. The concern or the worry that many people have at their core about Muslim participation in American politics.
Well, it's just fear. Fear of the other. Muslims have a long history of being the other, you know, the opponent, as it were, in American politics. And this goes way, way back. We had some of the founding fathers in politics at the time were being accused of being like Muhammad. So we had pre-colonial preachers who were fulminating against Muhammad and against Allah. So this is something that runs very deep. And obviously, we went through a period where the Germans were the other. We went through a period where the Russians or the Soviets were the other. And now we're back to, particularly since 9/11, Muslims being the other. And it just strikes this deep thread within the Western mindset and certainly within the Christian mindset that obviously was fomented in part during the Crusades.
Yeah, it's got to, though, Lawrence, be the sort of near 20-year tale, though, of the 9/11 attacks in 2001. Surely this is the thing that still recurs in people's minds.
Oh, absolutely. And we have an industry that dedicates itself to keeping that uppermost in our minds. They're Fear Incorporated, these fringe groups that have fostered this hatred of Islam, certainly since 9/11 and before. And now, in the last 2 years, you've had a group of people in the United States government, including the National Security Advisor, General Flynn, who were part of those Islamophobic networks. So the fringe has moved to the center.
Well, great to talk to you. Lawrence Pintack, he's the founding dean of the Edward R. Murrow College of Communication at Washington State University. He's a multi-award-winning journalist. We'll have him back in May when his new book, America and Islam, Soundbites, Suicide Bombs, and The Road to Donald Trump, is released. Lawrence, thank you very much for joining us on the Religion and Ethics Report.
My pleasure.